If you ask a Catholic priest or someone proficient in Catholic theology these three questions, you might get three separate answers. How do you avoid purgatory? How do you go straight to heaven? How do you become a saint or reach the highest level of holiness in this life? Today's Purgatory Mystic reveals to us why these questions are so important to have straight in our minds. We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, if it sounds like I'm under the weather, I am, but remember, there's no holidays in purgatory, so there's no holidays for me. Now, I actually asked these questions to ChatGPT, and the answers were incredible. It got it straight. I'm actually going to go through this. This is so interesting. So you can get some pretty good answers. Basically, to avoid purgatory, it says extremely difficult. You know it's right. And it gives a whole checklist of things you need to ask it. Basically, you have to be extremely holy, and it gives all these things that you have to do, things that we talk about all the time. And then the straight to heaven, same types of things. It gives a checklist of things. Here's a checklist: no mortal sin, no venial sin, indulgences offered, deep love for God, detachment from all sin, died in grace with the sacraments. That's what we need to do. You expand on all these things, but this is a pretty good answer. And then the highest spiritual state, it goes through the three states. Now, you probably know what I'm getting at. The answer for all three of these is the same thing. It's the same thing. To avoid purgatory, you need to become a saint. To go straight to heaven, you need to be a saint. And to reach the highest level in this life, you need to become saintly. But then it gives details. We're going to talk about these three stages, but let's get into the visions of this German mystic. Now, all of these are from a series collected by Blessed Carlo Acutis, soon to be canonized. Super excited about this. This is from Blessed Anna Schaefer. Let's hear what she has to say. Blessed Anna Schaefer, a German mystic who lived at the end of the 19th century, had many apparitions of the souls in purgatory. Among them is this one that she recounts in her diary. On July 22nd, 1918, I had this dream in regard to the poor souls. I seemed to go visit a very sick woman who told me that from her room I had to cross another six of them and then stay for a long time in the seventh one. A strong anguish gripped me, and I thought, certainly these are poor souls. Nevertheless, without hesitation, I opened the door and shouted, "May my Jesus have mercy on all of you." On October 21st, 1918, I dreamt of a 12-year-old boy who died a short time earlier. Although very young, he too was in purgatory. He told me that he was suffering thirst very much, and he asked me to pray for him because he was terribly hot. Again, on January 12, 1919, I dreamt that a girl between 14 and 16 came into my room. When she took my hand to greet me, I felt it completely icy, and therefore I asked her, "Are you this cold because you are a spirit?" And she answered me, "Yes. And it is for this that I have come to you to tell you, pray for me. No one does it since a long time ago because they all think I'm now in the beatific vision of God, whereas instead I'm still suffering in purgatory." Then I asked her where she was from, and she answered that she was from Oberdoling. Therefore, I suggested to her to return to her relatives. Perhaps they too may resume praying for you. That poor girl went to her relatives, as I had told her, but after an hour, she knocked on my door again and said to me, crying, "My relatives have not prayed for me," and continued, "When I died, I had as a powerful advocate the Most Holy Virgin, but also the patron saint whose name I bore, and another woman saint came to my assistance." She told me also the names of her patronesses, but once awakened, I could not remember them anymore. I answered, "Stay calm, I will pray fervently for you." And she added, "My patroness had already foretold me all this. Thanks to her, as a matter of fact, I know ahead of time the consolations that I will receive." Again, another apparition. On the 1st of March 1919, I dreamt three times of purgatory, and each time among those souls I recognized some acquaintances. On Saturday, November 29th, I dreamt of being in purgatory and I saw souls suffering in unspeakable manners. Is it not really possible to describe all the sufferings of these poor souls? I saw among them also some people I knew, dead already for several years, who suffered very much. Finally, in a vision of July 25th, 1920, I dreamt of a woman whom I had known and who was dead already for many years. She was still in purgatory and she appeared to be suffering in an unspeakable manner. Seeing her like this, I said to her, although I have suffered very much up to now, my pain is nothing in comparison to yours. It is like fresh dew. That woman begged me very much. Pray for me. Now, those three questions that I asked, here's sort of kind of where the rubber meets the road. Now, when I had read those visions, I was thinking, what is it? There's something that the Lord is trying to tell us through this, especially with the 12 and the 14-year-old. And here's what I want to get at. It's not enough for us not to sin. And even for us to then attend the sacraments and to pray, that is not sufficient to avoid purgatory, to go straight to heaven, to reach the heights of holiness in this life. That's only the beginning. We must do more. As what is required of any canonizable saints, we must get to a place where we have reached the heights of holiness and we are now practicing heroic virtue. So it could be the case that someone dies without any sin, mortal or venial, and they're still not ready to enter heaven. They still need to be purified, not perhaps because of sin, but because they haven't grown or developed enough. They haven't matured in the spiritual life. In that sense, they're not ready to enter heaven. So all of us Catholics need to understand the three stages of the spiritual life, understand what they are, more or less where we're at, and what we need to do to progress. Now, let me actually just read to you what ChatGPT says, because it's a good summary, but you can't just stay here. You have to go and study more. There's other people that talk about this, but there's the three stages: beginner, proficient, and the perfect. The purgative way, your focus is in avoiding sin, growing in virtue, developing prayer habits. Perhaps you can say this is the place of conversion, where you're turning away from mortal sins and you're struggling more so with venial sins only. You're kind of that in between. Perhaps you're going to confession a lot. You're learning how to pray. Prayer is becoming a habit. Here you should strive for confession, frequent communion, daily prayer, penance. Yes, ChatGPT is telling you to do penance. Even it knows that. So you're getting out of that place. Many people stay stuck here, and we should not do this. You know, there's a certain kind of excitement, kind of in the same way that, you know, Hollywood and Hollywood couples are sort of obsessed in kind of those initial teenage years of a relationship where you're breaking up with people and you're starting new. Sometimes we're kind of having these teenage relationships with God. No offense to you if you're a teenager, but you don't want to stay there. I would not want to stay there. It would be like going to purgatory to be a teenager. So those of you that are a teenager, there's hope. It's going to be over soon. Just wait a few years. We want to grow and mature and not just live a life with God that we're going from sin to sin and then repenting and then back again. There's more to life. In the illuminative way, there's an interior transformation, deeper prayer, and detachment from worldly things. You're growing in virtue, you're receiving deeper light, deeper understanding. Perhaps you're sinning significantly less, and you're also growing in virtue. You're understanding what the different virtues are, you're naming them, and you're not just kind of practicing them here and there, but you're growing, where you're going from a beginner to someone that's like, I'm beginning to master some of these different virtues. Also, passive purification begins. God starts purifying the soul more directly. This happens through the things that happen in our lives, the sufferings that God sends us. This also happens a lot in the sufferings that God sends you in prayer. What would this look like? For instance, having dry prayer, prayer where you simply maybe don't feel God's presence, but you're making the discipline anyway. Someone that had a lot of this would have been someone like Saint Teresa of Calcutta. But we all experience this in varying degrees. But this, although a beautiful place, is not enough. We need to go further. We need to move into the unitive way where we are becoming perfect. Jesus calls us to Christian perfection. And in the ideal, which is what we need to strive for, this is what we need to do. So the answer for all those three questions, what do you need to do to escape purgatory, reach heaven, go to the highest level in this life, is you have to be someone that is in the unitive state in the spiritual life. We need to learn more about this. This is where you're in a deep, habitual union with God in your actions. So you can perhaps say that this is an intellectual, sometimes felt knowledge of God's presence. This could be perhaps a state of constant consolations because you've gone through so many sufferings. So you've paid a heavy price to get here. It's not like, okay, unicorns and rainbows. You have been put through trials. That's the only way to reach here. Prayer becomes almost continual. St. Catherine Drexel, by the Native Americans, was nicknamed a woman who prays all the time. I think there's a few saints that they named them that because she just would pray all the time. She was in constant prayer. She arrived at that over time. It is possible. Suffering is embraced with love. Ask my wife, how do I embrace suffering? With grumpiness. So I have ways to go. I'm still grumpy Smurf, you know, when it comes to suffering. I have a way to go. The soul is guided by the Holy Spirit and lives in profound charity and humility. Here they talk about daily mental prayer. You know, the three types of prayer. Let's talk about those real briefly. Spoken prayer or vocal prayer. Mental prayer, no words here, using your imagination. So you can use kind of your intellectual reasoning. You can also use your sort of emotional imagination, kind of in the style of St. Ignatius of Loyola, where you're imagining a scene, entering into it, and you're sort of speaking mind to mind with God. This is incredibly important because this is the language of souls. Souls speak to us, spirits, angels, souls, Jesus, God, they're going to speak to us through the intellect, kind of like mind reading. That's a real thing. That's how we talk to them. So we have to practice this because this is going to be the most common way that God is going to speak to you. God will avoid speaking to you externally a lot of times. Why? Because there can be a lot of interference. As soon as you hear it, first, you can doubt, is this God? Is this just me? Am I going crazy? Also, the devil can interfere in that sending of the signal. It's a messy world. But in the direct, it's a more direct communication when it's straight to the mind. So you have to practice it because it's very subtle. It's very quiet and silent. It's different. And then there's contemplative prayer where there's not even words or thoughts. What's left? The thing behind that. So what's behind the words and the thoughts? The message. You can bypass praying with words and with thought by just praying heart to heart with the message. How do you do that? It has to be a gift from God. Everyone will describe this to you differently, probably because everyone has a different experience of this. But this is a deeper type of prayer. We can predispose ourselves to it. We can't force it to happen or do a magic trick and make it happen. God has to grant it as a grace. We can't make it happen. Avoid any techniques that make contemplative prayer happen. Any type of thing that teaches you this is wrong. I've tried this stuff before and then learned that it was not good. It's kind of like anything that tells you that you can do these things to make someone love you, don't listen to it. In the same way, you can't force contemplative prayer. God has to grant it to you. We have to passively receive it, but actively respond by saying yes. So my friends, those three questions are asking the same thing. It's what we must ultimately do to avoid purgatory, not just the sacraments, prayer, and no sin. Beyond that, there's more. We must grow in virtue. What all those things lead us to reach the heights of holiness, amazing things, you know, using Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, verso lo alto, to the heights of the mountains. This is where we must go. May the saints and the souls in purgatory guide us always in all of this. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe, like, and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. And also, don't forget to support and check out a sponsor of this channel, purgatoryproject.com, purgatoryproject.org. Check them out. Great website. I'll see you in the next one.